It's the day before the NFL draft, but before talking about future members of the Green Bay Packers, we'll be talking to a current player. We welcome linebacker Sam Barrington onto the show. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're excited to talk about some NFL draft talk this morning, but to kick the show off, we have a current member of the Green Bay Packers joining us, linebacker Sam Barrington. Mr. Barrington, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. We're glad to have you on the show. I want to know, to start things off, how your off season went. Mr. Barrington, what was the most fun you had away from the football field this off season?
I had a beautiful off season. The most fun I had, man, I had so much fun. It's hard for me to just give you one event. But what I'll do is I'll just tell you,
I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
Maybe it was, I'll give you something simple. It was just one of the weekends I went back to Jacksonville, picked my daughter up from school on Friday, hung at my mom's house all on Friday after she got out of school. Maybe we woke up and went to the park or something on Saturday and, just hung with my siblings, my daughter, my mom all weekend. And Sunday, I think we went out to where my grandmother's from. It's about 30, 45 minutes outside of Jacksonville, and we played kickball with all my cousins and aunties, uncles. It was a great time. I don't need to do much to have fun when I have my family around.
Good quality time with the family. That's always good, especially when you're away from them for a long time, as I'm sure you are.
Exactly.
Now you're getting back into the swing of things with the off-season program now in its second week in Green Bay. What does your typical day look like at Lambeau Field? What do you do now?
Typical day. I'll tell you about my Tuesdays. I like my Tuesdays the most. So I get up at about 6:30. I make it to the stadium by about 7:20. I eat a light. I eat something light. Go in. We stretch. We warm up. Then we run. After we stretch, we warm up, we come back in, we'll do some type of lifting. Then after that, we have a few meetings, just to discuss defensive things or some linebacker specific things. Then after that, another group lifts. And at that time, I use the extra time to maybe do something extra for myself. Maybe if it's stretching, maybe if it's recovery method. And then after that, I'll eat again. And then at 1 o'clock, between 1 and 2 o'clock, I go through my boxing class. And, you know, a lot of the times I go with Mike Daniels, Nate Palmer is gone, Dayton Jones. And so that's just a little extra bonding that we have on top of getting some work in, because, you know, the work is at Lambeau is voluntary right now. So we just make sure we go and we do some extra things. So come 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm tired, man. And I go home and I watch some Law & Order SVU, and I just enjoy the rest of my day.
You do boxing. Are you ready for the big boxing match this weekend? Manny Pacquiao, et cetera, all getting hyped up for that?
Oh, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. But what's most interesting is the anticipation for it, because you have all these different guys saying, well, I'm going to tell you why I think Pacquiao is going to win. And all of a sudden, everybody becomes a boxing expert. So I enjoy that part of it. But, man, I'm just looking to see a good fight, because rarely do we have the chance to witness greatness. And Floyd Mayweather, he's coming up on 49-0. And that's great. And you can arguably say that he'll be the best when he's finished, but I guess it's all on your perception.
We're talking to Packers linebacker Sam Barrington here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Now, Mr. Barrington, it's no secret the Packers parted ways with three different linebackers this offseason. What message did that send to you?
You say what message?
Yes.
I guess that, hey, nobody's irreplaceable. And but that's football all the way from elementary school all the way up to now. Nobody's irreplaceable. And you just have to do what you can every day. And, you know, Coach McCarthy always talks about your best ability is availability. And so just keep yourself available. And the crazy thing about it is all three of those guys were great guys. And I learned something from all three of them. And so I just have to take the things I learned, implement them in my game as a growing pro athlete, and continue to strive on, because one day it'll be my day to walk out of the locker room. And so, but I'm enjoying the days until that comes. And that's just my mentality.
I know if I were you, I'd want to know who is going to play next to me this season. Has there been any talk about whether Clay Matthews will play inside or outside this year?
Of course, there's been talk, but my focus primarily is just to focus on what I can bring to the team, and just to make sure that whoever that guy is, your two inside linebackers always have to be close, and they always have to be on the same page. So my focus is whoever that guy is, that, you know, I'm just prepared to work with him, and we can grow, you know, as the two guys in the middle, so we can basically, you know, give to the defense and you know, because I look forward to having a great defense this year, but it starts with your front guys and your inside guys on the same stage, and it makes it easier for the defensive backs.
Does that uncertainty, not knowing who that other guy is, does that bother you at all?
No, I can't say it bothers me. It's a little fun waiting for the anticipation. And I enjoy the draft. I enjoy watching it. All the prospects, the inside linebacker prospects I've watched, and I'm looking forward to it. And I wish all the guys that are coming up in the draft the best of luck, because it's one of the best times of your life.
Last season, two of your teammates made the switch from outside linebacker to inside linebacker, and us fans really haven't gotten the chance to see much of them. Tell me a little bit about Carl Bradford and Nate Palmer and how their transition's going.
Right. Well, I could say both of them are great guys. I hang with Nate a lot off, you know, outside of locker room personally. He's a great guy. He takes football serious, and he's a hard worker. So I'm interested to see, you know, the progress he's, you know, made in the off season and how that'll play on the field this, you know, when we get into our OTAs and our minicamp. And, you know, Carl was a young guy last year, first year guy. And he really progressed as the year went on. And so I'm excited to see what he does this year, too. And I know he takes football serious as well. Both guys are in their day-to-day, you know, growing as far as understanding the defense, growing physically as well. So it's going to be a fun offseason for us.
Do you know, are you going to be the play caller on defense this season?
Well, I know once we get everybody in the same room and we get everything together, I think we'll put together a plan, and my focus is just to make sure I'm ready for whatever job is given to me.
Did you wear the helmet radio last year at all? Is that new to you?
Towards the end of the season, I did, but I can't really say it was new to me. All through college, you know, I made play calls, and it was something that I knew if I was asked to do it, I was going to embrace it, and I was looking forward to it, honestly.
So before we let you go, the NFL draft starts tomorrow, and lots of guys are going to have their dreams come true. What are your memories of the moment you were drafted by the Green Bay Packers?
Right. Well, it was late in the seventh round, so I was preparing to be a free agent. But when I got that call, you know, what made it so great is because really at the end of the day, all I wanted was an opportunity. But it made it that much more special for my family, because they can now say my nephew or my son or my grandson, my brother, my uncle, he was a, you know, member of the 2013 NFL draft. And so that's everlasting. That'll be that way for eternity. And so I'm grateful for it. And right now it's about making the most of my opportunity. And it's all about never being satisfied and not taking no for an answer. So that's where I'm at right now. As I said earlier, I wish the guys the best of luck. And if anyone's listening, hey, you got to have fun with it because tomorrow isn't promised. So maintain that mentality and you'll be all right.
That's very cool what you accomplished. Are you ready to welcome 20-some-odd new players to the locker room next week?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. New personalities, new guys as far as work ethic. And, that's what makes football and NFL so fun because you meet a lot of great people. And it's sad to have to see some guys go, but that's just the nature of the game. And, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Packer Nation is looking forward to it, too. Sam Barrington, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. Glad to talk to you, and best of luck this season.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Take care. Green Bay Packers linebacker Sam Barrington joining us on Railbird Central here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Glad to have him. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue our discussion here. And so our usual segment, Packers News of the Day, the word over the past 24 hours or so, senior personnel executive Alonzo Highsmith is reportedly pushing for Miami linebacker Denzel Perryman in the first round of the NFL draft. This is a report coming from Tony Pauline of draftinsider.net yesterday. I find this interesting because of how oddly specific it is. You hear things all the time, year after year, Packers interested in this guy, that guy. Here we have an actual, they actually name the executive, Alonzo Highsmith, pushing for Denzel Perryman. And I also find it odd because of how tight-lipped general manager Ted Thompson is. And it makes me wonder, is this real or is this smokescreen? Because I don't think Alonzo Highsmith would really want his name attached to this, knowing that, you know, might a team jump ahead of them and take Perryman if that's truly who they're interested in, who they want. Now, that being said, like I said, this is the time of year. You almost can't believe anything. It could be smokescreen. It could be, the Packers, saying they want Perryman and almost encouraging another team to go up and get him. So they're the target they want falls to them. A Stephon Anthony and Eric Kendricks, Benardrick McKinney, whoever it may be, that it falls to them. Now, this report is kind of lent credence by the mock draft from Peter King of MMQB at Sports Illustrated yesterday, just published yesterday. And he's got the Packers taking Denzel Perryman with the 30th pick in the first round. And it's almost as if everything has come full circle. If you follow me on social media, right before the NFL Combine, I do this every year. I do a roundup of mock drafts published throughout the internet, checking out who they have the Packers taking. And so, I'm doing this back in the month of February. And the leader in the clubhouse at the time, back in February, Denzel Perryman, he had the most, his name appeared the most time of going to the Packers in the first round of any mock draft. Well, it seems as if after the NFL Combine, Perryman's name kind of went off the first round radar. When you're talking like inside linebackers, it seems as if Eric Kendricks and Stephon Anthony's names were the guys who were appearing the most, kind of the top of the inside linebacker list. Like I said, now it's coming full circle. Now it's coming back to Denzel Perryman again. And that's not to say, you know, another linebacker might come off the board before him. That could certainly be the case. But just interesting how it's he was the name early on, went away, now he's coming back. So, yeah, you know, I personally find it very hard to believe the Packers would invest a draft choice into Denzel Perryman in the first round. He's kind of one of those sawed-off linebackers. He doesn't even measure in at 5'11". Not to say he's not a good player, but I just don't think that's the kind of guy you take in the first round. In fact, a source tells me that the Packers would very much like to have Denzel Perryman in the second round, and I can definitely buy that. That way they can address another position on the defensive side of the football with the 30th overall pick. Somebody who doesn't have quite that big question mark as Denzel Perryman does with the height. Not just that, he's not really great in coverage. Now, that being said, there's not a whole lot of inside linebackers that are very good in coverage. But I think he can play out there on third downs. He seems to be a very instinctive and smart guy. You just don't know if he's the type that's going to be able to, you know, run downfield with the tight ends. And even if he is, you know, then the height becomes an issue, you know, guarding a 6'6" tight end who can just go up for the football and, you know, have, you know, half a foot on him or more, you know, before they even jump. So I just don't think Denzel Perryman is going to be a first round target for the Packers. Like I said, you know, when second round comes around, 62nd pick overall, and he's still on the board, I can buy it. And the Packers have already addressed another position. Seems to me, hey, they go get a cornerback in the first round, get Denzel Perryman in the second. They got two potential starters there. Seems like that helps the defense off to me. I can buy it. I like it. You know, I just don't see it in the first round. Now, that being said here, this report also says Utah cornerback Eric Rowe is in play. And that's kind of a name that's been off the first round radar a little bit. But you know what? I can believe that one almost a little bit more. We've talked about Eric Rowe on the show before. I think he's very much in that same mold as Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks. He's a very tall cornerback, very physical. And you know what? When a lot of people say, you know, you get those tall guys and they don't have the long speed. But Eric Rowe showed at the NFL Combine, and I think followed up at his pro day, that he looked to have the speed, both in drills and timed with the 40-yard dash. You know, timed in at 4.3-something in the 40-yard dash. I mean, that's elite speed right there. That's, like, you go lower than 4.4, that tells me all you need. Sure, are there wide receivers that could be faster? Yeah, but I think he's got enough speed to make it happen. And I think, you know, he's only going to get better the longer he plays cornerback. Eric Rowe was a safety for, I think, his first 3 years, you know, and then his senior year switched cornerback after, I believe it was Lenny McGill of Utah left, kind of took over from him. Very much a cornerback in the same mold there. Tall. Utah seems to like their tall cornerbacks. And really held down the fort and then some. I thought Eric Rowe did great. You know, anytime I looked at any film, he was fantastic out there. And I can almost believe that he could be a first-round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. Seriously, and like I said, it's a name that hasn't been thrown out there a whole lot, and really, to tell you the truth, I don't know why, because, you know, with all these guys, you the first round, I'm so wary of red flags with players, you know, be it off-field concerns or injury or whatever, and I don't feel like there's anything really there with Eric Rowe. I mean, the concern is he can't play cornerback. Maybe he's a safety. And you know what, though? I mean, so if it turns out he can't play cornerback, I mean, safety is a fallback option. You know, they're going to go into at least camp with him playing cornerback. They're going to give him a year. So let's say it doesn't work out. He can't play cornerback. He's got to move to safety. Well, by the time 2016 rolls around, now you're maybe looking at replacing a guy like Morgan Burnett on the defense. Perhaps I realize we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. But I'm just saying that's like a fallback option if things don't work out. I mean, there's no character concerns with Eric Rowe, you know, at least that I'm aware of. Haven't heard of anything, and that's a good. I mean, you never know for sure as you see these guys get, you know, arrested out of nowhere, just like you did with LaTroy Guyon this offseason. I mean, nobody saw that coming with LaTroy Guyon, and you know, after he ends up getting a deal, I think, and you wonder, well, maybe it's not as big as you thought it was anyway. But beside the point, getting back, I think Eric Rowe is an option. You know, every year I try to pick who the Packers will select in the first round of the NFL draft, and I'm having a really hard time this year. It doesn't make it any easier that the Packers are picking at the end of the first round. You know, if they had a top 10 draft choice, it would be a different story. You could whittle it down to maybe two or three names that you think they'll take. But it, you know, there's so many guys in play. So I'll just say this here. Here's, I believe, six names that I think the Packers will take from. I think one of these guys, at least one, is going to fall to the Packers at number 30. And so they're all guys on the defensive side of the football. Eric Kendricks of UCLA, Stephon Anthony of Clemson, Byron Jones of UConn, Marcus Peters of Washington, Malcolm Brown of Texas, and Eric Rowe of Utah. I think that's seven players actually there. I think the Packers will take one of them. Or is that six? I can't even do my simple math this morning. But I think though one of those guys will be the first round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. I'm telling you, I mean, it's the odds are nearing 99%. I swear that the Packers address defense. I unless somebody absolutely falls to them at the end of the first round, I can't see them going any other direction. And it would have to be. And Amari Cooper would have to fall to them at the 30th pick for them to take a player on offense. I just think that's the way it goes. You know, I can second round if they want to address offense, you know, fine. I even think they pass up Max Williams if he's available, the top tight end. I don't see it happening in round one. Round two, sure. If he's there, maybe. But there's just so many holes they need to fill, starters they need on the defensive side of the football. Like I said, Kendricks, Anthony, Jones, Peters, Brown, and Rowe, one of those six will be the first-round draft pick of the Packers. If I had to pick, my guess right now is it will be UConn cornerback Byron Jones. I just think he's an elite athlete. He like we've talked about him many times, apparently set the world record in the standing broad jump at the NFL combine. I think he's got the athleticism. I think he's got enough speed to get by at the cornerback position. He's a former safety, so he's used to tackling. I think he's a lot like Eric Rowe in that respect. I mean, if things don't work out, you could move him to safety and still have a good player, even if things don't work out at cornerback. Obviously, you want him to work out at cornerback, but I'm just saying it's a fallback option. So my official guess is Byron Jones, but I'm not exactly confident in that selection. Just saying one of those six guys probably going to be the first-round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. I don't know. I don't buy Bednarik McKinney. I saw the rankings from Bob McGinn come out earlier this week that McKinney is the number one inside linebacker prospect, you know, kind of according to the scouts that he pulled. And maybe it's that they just, you know, value something a little bit more differently. Maybe when you're looking for an inside linebacker, you're looking for that bigger guy that's going to hold up against offensive linemen. And I'll give him that. He's more built for that. I just like the more athletic guys, Eric Kendricks, Stephon Anthony, because I think the Packers have the big guy. The guy we just talked to on the show, Sam Barrington, he's their take-on guy. He's the big brute force. And I think you want the athlete next to him, because as the backup as well, I think Carl Bradford might be the other take on guy. You know, if anything were to happen to Barrington, let's say he gets injured, I think, you know, Carl Bradford can be the guy who takes on an inside linebacker as well. So I think you want the athlete next to them, the guy who's going to be playing sideline to sideline, can make plays in the backfield, shoot gaps, do a little bit of rushing the passer if asked to do that. I think Kendricks and Stephon Anthony fit that. And also, kind of coming to light here, through, once again, Bob McGinn saying one team has already taken Kendricks off their board because of a knee injury. Kind of interesting. I hadn't known about any knee injury with Eric Kendricks. I knew about ankle surgery. Apparently, he had a little bit of a hamstring issue at his pro day. I kind of think, to an extent, the injury issues with Eric Kendricks are overblown, because I don't think you let minor injuries, like, and again, I mean, only the doctors really know what's going on here. I mean, all of a sudden, I can't, you know, I can't sit here and say with 100% certainty the hamstring is not a big issue. I mean, there are smarter people out there than me that hold a medical degree that can tell that. But, I mean, you know, guys have hamstring injuries and come back from them. I don't think you let a short-term injury impact a long-term investment. Eric Kendricks had a lot of these injury issues last year, 2014. He came back from the ankle surgery, and all he did was have the best season in the nation by a linebacker, winning the Butkus Award. These injury issues are minor to me as I sit here right now and talk. Like I said, you know, if I were to see the medical reports and have a doctor explain to me that they're a little bit more serious, maybe I would change my mind. But all I know is he played a high level of football with these injury issues. And I think he's an athlete, and I think he's a leader more than anything as well. I can see Eric Kendricks leading the Packers defense for the next decade, and being a solid guy, another guy you don't have to worry about from an off-field character standpoint. That's what I see with Eric Kendricks there. So there's kind of your update on the NFL draft and this news that kind of came out yesterday. So weird about Alonzo Highsmith and how he was, you know, specifically cited. But anyway, other news yesterday, the Packers announced a new restaurant inside Lambeau Field, 1919 Kitchen and Tap, taking place of the old Curly's Pub that had been in place since the Packers renovated Lambeau Field back in 2003. I've heard from a lot of people, kind of interesting here, just, you know, if you're interested about Lambeau Field in the business side of things, I had heard from quite a few people that they've been underwhelmed by Curly's Pub. I mean, you went there and you get a burger and fries and, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I think people thought it could have been so much better, a little bit more inspired, a little bit more flair, a little bit better quality food. And they just were underwhelmed with Curly's Pub. That being said, I do think the branding almost, you know, you're naming the restaurant after the Packers founder, coach, player, NFL Pro Football Hall of Famer Curly Lambeau, you know, why couldn't you just why did you have to change the brand? Why don't you just change the restaurant? But I don't know. They go with 1990 Kitchen Tap, kind of named after the year the Packers were founded in 1919, if you were wondering where that came from there. But going to be a new look. It's part of the whole renovations that are going on at Lambeau Field. You know, they're moving. Curly's Pub was on the second floor of the Lambeau Field atrium, moving it to the first floor. A little bit easier access, people walking in, go right to the restaurant, moving all sorts of things around. They're moving the Packers Hall of Fame to the second floor, so it's out of the basement. It was kind of off of people's radar in the basement. They really wouldn't see it. And instead, you know, they move the Packers Pro Shop to basically the basement or the ground floor, but they kind of opened it up. You know, that's part of what the renovations were. What was formerly the basement and couldn't be seen is now opened up to, street level, basically, in Green Bay. Lot of different changes taking place there inside the Lambeau Field atrium. The restaurant is supposedly set to open basically late July, kind of in conjunction with the opening of training camp in Green Bay. So if you go to training camp, you can check it out then. Packers just announced it, make it official yesterday on Tuesday. So as far as the day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Wednesday, one of the few things going on, Clay Matthews is appearing at an IT conference in Las Vegas today, out in Sin City. It's the kind of thing that the public doesn't really go to. It's for IT professionals. It's a professional conference. Like most people register, if you're part of the IT field, you register and you go out there, you know, weeks, months ahead of time. It's not something, apparently you can buy admission for $150 for the day if you want, but who really wants to pay $150? That's quite a high price. So, but Clay Matthews is out there. Apparently it's something set up by his marketing agent. Little else going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. You can find all the information I posted at 247sports.com, our Packers page, just in case you were wondering. But little else going on. It's the calm before the storm, so to speak, before the NFL draft takes place on Thursday, first day. Very excited. I will be in Chicago. I will be at the site of the NFL draft. So, unfortunately, I think they put us peons in the media, or at least me. We're in the auxiliary, like, media workroom. That is, I won't even be part of the glitz and the glamour and all that. I don't know how much I'll be able to actually see with my own two eyes. I'll be able to see it on television like anybody else. We'll have access to the players, though, after they are drafted, kind of, you know, little bit of a press conference, ask them questions, things like that. So I'm really excited. Hopefully tomorrow, if the Packers, whoever, if that player is in attendance in Chicago, I'll be there for his press conference, be able to ask him questions. Stay tuned for 247sports.com for that coverage. We'll have all sorts of stuff. I'll try to file as many reports as possible from Chicago and the site of the NFL draft. So look forward to that and hope you are too. Make sure to check it out here. But that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us this morning. Thanks to linebacker Sam Barrington for joining us on the show. It was great to talk to him, talk about the offseason workout program, the upcoming season, all those kind of things. Wish him the best of luck. And, this will do it until Monday for Railbird Central, because I will be in Chicago. There will be no Friday episode of Railbird Central. Typically, we're on every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time live. Not this Friday, because I'll be at the draft. But other than that, we'll see you later, folks. We'll see you on Monday. We'll be talking about a whole new draft class. And talking about the undrafted free agents they signed to. There will be so much to talk about. Our heads will be spinning on Monday. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Hard Living by Railroad Earth on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go Pack.